Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism and Scouting or Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, support services, and radio broadcasting. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hello, and welcome back to Autism and Scouting Radio. My name is John Kreischer, and again, today I will be your host. Autism Scouting Radio is part of the Autism Scouting Program, which is one of the programs offered to you by Autism Empowerment. To get more information about Autism Empowerment and the Autism Scouting Program after the broadcast, please visit us at www.autismempowerment.org. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and a whole bunch of other types of social media outlets. If you're interested in upcoming broadcasts or listening to any previous broadcasts in archive or via podcast, you can find the information there, or also you can find the information as well as on iTunes for free. Before we get to today's guest, I want to thank my co-host from our last show, Karen Kreitcher. She talked to me with me yesterday about the autism and scouting training that we did this past weekend for the Cascade Pacific Council, where we were able to really meet a lot of people and touch a lot of lives. We were able to give three different classes on autism, two basic classes, which were the same, just repeated, and then one advanced class. We covered a whole bunch of information. It was jam-packed full of a lot of content. If you'd like to see those trainings, we're actually going to be posting those at the Autism and Autism Empowerment website, hopefully by the end of this weekend. Also, if you have any stories that you'd like to share with us on Autism Scouting Radio, please let us know. I can be reached at john@autismempowerment.org. The next 2 days, we have two scouting stories coming up from our Inspiration from the Spectrum series. Tomorrow we're going to be talking to Cadet Mary Catherine. She is a Girl Scout who has Asperger's. And then on Friday we're going to be talking to, I believe his name is Teddy. He's a Weeblow Scout, and he actually has two siblings that are in scouting, and we're going to take a perspective, look at his perspective as being one of the only neurological, quote-unquote, children in scouting and having two siblings who are on the spectrum and how he supports them in their scouting activities. Today, though, we're going to be talking to Tony May, who's a repeat customer here on Autism and Scouting Radio. He is the National Chair for Special Needs Scouting. He's also the Chair for the Disability Awareness Challenge of the 2013 Jamboree. That's actually what we're going to be talking about specifically today, is about the 2013 Jamboree and the Disability Awareness Challenge. At this event, over the past number of Jamborees, it's been growing in size and scope. Its participation has been really, really well received at the Jamboree, which is an exciting thing to hear. Also, for the first time this coming up in 2013, Autism Awareness will be part of the Autism Awareness Challenge. Last time we had Tony on, we were a little bit rushed and got through. We only had 30 minutes. Today we actually have 45 minutes, so we have a little bit extra time to take a little bit extra length. So let's go ahead and get Tony on. Welcome, Tony.
Hi, John.
Hi, how are you doing
great
today?
Great to be back.
Fine. You're always welcome to be back. Anytime you want to be on air, you just let us know.
Okay.
Let's just go over some real quick basics, and then we'll get into the challenge. When is the, if anyone doesn't know yet, when is the BSA's 2013 Jamboree?
That's going to be July 15th through the 24th in 2013.
And at the Jamboree, what specifically is the Disability Awareness Challenge?
Well, the Disability Awareness Challenge is it's an experience. It's actually it's actually an action center where the individuals come in. They have 19 different activities that they can experience, and the goal behind all of that is to enable those scouts and scouters to develop an awareness and sensitivity to the very to the disability that they're experiencing. In other words, they get an opportunity to walk in the shoes of someone who has a specific disability and experience what it's like, and hopefully extrapolate their 10 to 15 minute experience to what it's like for someone who has to live with that every day of their lives. And then having done that, our hope is that individuals will take this experience and basically incorporate this type of activity back in their troop program when they get back from the Jamboree.
So it's an interactive, I don't want to say display, but interactive, like a tent with different stations?
Well, actually, the site of the Disability Awareness Challenge is a full acre. And on that acre, we will have a number of tents and open-air activities. I'll go through those activities in a minute with you. In past Jamborees, we've been sort of off in one corner of Fort A.P. Hill, and all the high adventure activities were elsewhere. In 2013, our location is in the Summit Center, which is the part of the Jamboree site that not only do the participants get to visit, but also anyone who visits the Jamboree, not as a participant, will get to visit that area. Our location is... Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, so you're going to have a lot more access to actually individual scouts this time?
Probably so, especially since the Disability Awareness Challenge is right next door to the demonstration sites for BMX, the canopy tour, some of the zip lines, in other words, some of the high adventure activities that everyone really wants to go see and take part in. And as the slogan for this Jamboree, go big, get wild, well, that's where all those are, and we're going to be part of that.
Excellent. Can you give us just a brief history of the Disability Awareness Challenge and kind of the philosophy behind the challenge? I mean, I guess you said it was kind of interactive, so people could take that back to their unit. So, but give us a little brief history of the challenge itself.
Sure. Basically, it really began back in 1977 when Dr. Jack Dinger introduced a six-event handicap awareness trail at the Moraine State Park Jamboree in Idaho. It was also replicated in 81 and 85, but in 1989, Dave Davies, a professional scouter from Virginia Beach, and Fred Chief Hampton, who was then from New Jersey, he's now from Albuquerque, introduced a redesigned Disability Awareness Challenge. I don't know exactly how many events, but I'm sure it was probably maybe a half dozen or more. And subsequent to that, there have been six more Jamborees, and at each one of those, the Disability Awareness Challenge introduced additional activities. In 2010, we had 17. In 2013, we're going to have 19. So there will be a lot of opportunity out there to experience the various disabilities. The philosophy very clearly is we want to provide that opportunity for those who don't have disabilities to experience what it's like to walk in the shoes of someone who does have a disability. And also, by using various sports and the like, we can show them that, hey, this sport can be done by someone with a specific disability.
Absolutely. How many people did you estimate you had to go through at the last jamboree?
Well, let's see. I guess in 2010 we had something over 15,000, and that's out of the 45,000 who were attending the jamboree. So that's a pretty good impact. However, we're looking to, especially because of the better location this time, we're looking for at least 20,000 and hopefully more than that. Of course, means... It also means that the staff that will be working there are going to be busy.
Absolutely, and that's actually one thing that we're going to definitely talk about is how, after we go through the stations, how you as a scouter out there can come and help support the jamboree as staff, because I know you're still looking for staff members to fill up a lot of slots, correct?
Absolutely.
That's kind of one of our goals.
I don't want to scare people away because, I mean, saying that they're going to be working hard, but having done this several times myself as a staff member, yes, you do put a lot of work in, but the payback more than outweighs the amount of effort you put in. It touches you every day.
I totally contest to that. I mean, just the training that we had, just at the console level that we had this past weekend, it was a long day, but I mean, Karen and I, my wife, was also presenting. It took us like 2 or 3 days just to come down from the incredible natural high of how many lives we touched. So it really stressed in something like this. You're going to touch thousands and thousands of lives, and then on top of that, you're going to probably double that or triple that, because these people will be taking that back to their troops and their units.
That's it, precisely.
Let's go over the stations, because I know this is kind of the guts of the program, and so people can kind of get a feel of what they should be able to expect when they get to the jamboree.
Okay. One event, I have to preface this with the fact that in 2010, we actually had a two-acre site, and because the summit has certain constraints, something about hills and valleys, so just about everybody has less acreage than they did in previous jamborees, but it's going to be more compact and high energy. As a result, one of our activities, Beep Baseball, that's basically baseball for those who have visual challenges. In other words, blind. Instead of having a full baseball diamond, we'll probably only have a batting cage. But individuals will still get a feel for how this works, because they'll have the opportunity to try and hit a baseball blind.
Mm-hmm.
And the key point here is that this is actually a sport that those who are blind do participate in. The baseballs, actually it's a softball that has a beeper in it. And if we had the diamond there, as we did in the past, you would actually have two bases, what we sighted folk call first and third base, that have each of them has a separate beeper. That's different from the ball. All of the players in the field are blind, except for the pitcher and the catcher. That helps.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the batter and all the fielders are blind. Assuming the batter hits the ball, the batter has to run to whichever base is beeping, and if the batter gets there before one of the fielders touches the ball, that's a home run, and he scores.
Very nice.
Otherwise, he's out, and then each side gets four outs, and then they play the nine innings or whatever. This can be very, very challenging. It can be very frustrating to some people. I've observed this several jamborees back. We actually had an individual staffing that who himself was blind.
Oh, wow.
And he was very patient, especially when a group of scouts were really, really frustrated because they couldn't hit the ball. And they're saying, this is impossible. Nobody can do this. And he said, wait, let me show you. So he walks up and says, ask someone to give him a bat. Got to the plate, said, okay, pitch. And he belted it clear out of the park. And they said, oh, that's no fair. You can see. He said, no, I'm blind. See, my cane is right over there. And he pointed to it. Of course, he had actually memorized his sight. He knew, you know, how many paces to go, where things were.
Right.
And it just blew their mind. And they obviously, no, you're joshing me. No, I am blind. But anyway, he showed that it could be done.
That's awesome. So that beat baseball. What's next?
Okay, we'll have two different aspects of bowling, both of which will be bowling using a wheelchair. One is just having a wheelchair mounted at the end of a bowling lane, and you get to sit in the wheelchair and attempt to bowl over the pins.
Mm-hmm.
That can be a little bit interesting because obviously you have to lean over and there's a wheel that gets in the way, what have you. The other option is one using a ramp. Now, these ramps are in fact used to enable those who have certain disabilities to bowl. Those who use a wheelchair, obviously.
Right.
Although in Special Olympics, we have some athletes who... they can't lift the ball, or they have a very weak wrist, so they need to carry the ball to the ramp, aim the ramp, and then push it. So this will give two options for them.
Very nice.
Another activity. Oh, this is our signature activity. It's wheelchair basketball. You clearly get to play a small basketball scrimmage using wheelchairs. We're using standard wheelchairs, not the sports variety, partly for safety reasons because the sports variety do not have much of
support
back
on either
on
side. Right.
Yeah, but boy, you can be very mobile in one of those. And we are looking forward to having some Paralympians join us at some point during the Jamboree, and they will put on a demonstration. At a previous Jamboree, we had that, and they put one on, and that drew one heck of a crowd. Everybody was totally amazed at how they played. Some of the things they do when they're playing surprise folks, I mean, in terms of grabbing somebody else's wheel so you can help you move along and things like that. And, you know, here they are, you know, popping three-pointers. And the scouts who have tried this from the other wheelchairs, I mean, they realize, wait a second, I don't have any legs to help me push this.
Right.
So, I mean, they were totally amazed. And that team did challenge two troops. They actually put the challenge out, and two troops took them up on it. That was interesting. I'll let people's imagination run on that one.
Yeah, no kidding.
Another one is... volleyball, and we'll have an opportunity for the participants to play volleyball with one arm. They get to put their predominant arm, if they're right-handed, for example, their right arm, inside their T-shirt, and then they get to play volleyball just using their left hand. I'm going to make it a little more interesting this year because instead of having just a standard volleyball court, we're going to have a jambo volleyball court, which basically has four quarters to it. In other words, you have four quadrants, and the ball can go, if it comes into your quadrant, you can hit it in any one of the other three.
Oh, very
so
nice.
It will be doubly challenging.
Love to see the pictures on those.
Oh, gosh, yes. Now, let's see. I'm going to keep going through this. Assigning. We have one where they learned the various signs, American Sign Language, and get to send a message that way because those are for individuals who cannot speak.
Mm-hmm.
There's a similar. There's the Braille Compass. In other words, for those who have sight challenges, there's a compass that's made available to them that uses Braille.
Oh, very nice.
And they get to find their directions with that. There's also an obstacle course for someone who is using crutches with one leg incapacitated. They get to negotiate over barrels, tires, a balance plank, and forgot to mention, they get to go up and down stairs using the crutches. This too is an eye opener.
Mm-hmm.
There's another blind one called the Trust Run. We have two poles 90 feet apart with a cable suspended from between them. The individual is blindfolded and they're hooked up with a harness, like a climbing harness, and they get to run at top speed from one. In a blind environment. You see all sorts of approaches there. Some people they don't run very fast, understandably, and some do, and they're very surprised. Another blind one is the cane maze. We have a maze created using PVC pipe, and they get to negotiate that. With a cane, and their eyes closed.
Very nice. Cause I'm sure that would give a real interesting perspective of someone that's the only way they can get around is using that cane.
Exactly. We have one for somebody. This is the home front challenge. We actually will have a mock-up of a kitchen and a bathroom. And the individual will get to use a wheelchair and navigate. I think this one scenario is, in the middle of the night, you're hungry, so you go over to the kitchen. We'll assume you're on a one-story building. And you get to try to get yourself a snack from the wheelchair. Another case will be you need to go use the restroom. Okay, how do you get yourself from the wheelchair onto the toilet?
Right.
They'll give them an experience. This is one where we've also had the opportunity, some sensory challenges of trying to unwrap a candy bar or write or button your shirt using when you have work gloves on your hand. I'll come back to that one. Another one of the action ones is an archery range, where you'll get to, again, using a wheelchair, but this time you also have one arm immobilized, and you get to shoot a bow and arrow using one arm from a wheelchair.
Oh, I bet that's a probably popular one as well.
Oh, it is very popular, and it can be very frustrating, especially when they realize, oh, wait a second, I have to try to get that bow, the arrow onto the compound bow and knocked and make sure that it doesn't fall down, because if it falls down, how am I going to get it?
I have a hard enough time at the archery range with two hands standing up.
Yes. Now, there is one other action one here. The challenge is that you're blind, and you get to shoot a BB gun. Now, you're not going to do. The buddy system gets used here. Obviously, we have a laser sight on each of the BB guns. Obviously, you can't see as the shooter. And
right.
Your buddy will actually be your coach and tell you when the laser is actually pointing at the target. And then you get to shoot.
Oh, very nice.
There's some, some tricks to this. I think I'm going to let those who come and see it get to understand, because sometimes how you hold the rifle when you're shooting blind can be very interesting.
Right, because there's all of the mechanical things that need to go on with, especially knowing about needing to having a gun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously the safety factors, but there's some interesting ones. For example, if you've fired a weapon before, obviously you want to get a good sight picture.
Mm-hmm.
So you hold the weapon up against your cheek and you point it downrange and you look through the sight. If you're blind, do you need to do that?
Oh, very nice.
That's always interesting. Now, let's see. I'm going to move over to some of the ones that we've had that dealt with the invisible disabilities. One we call the mind bender, and actually it's a two-part activity. One deals with dyslexia / dysgraphia. In other words, you have a box which blocks your vision of the paper that you're going to be drawing on, and you use a mirror that is on the opposite side of the box to guide yourself through this maze. And it's very interesting because most people they may start out okay drawing between the two lines, but the minute they have to turn a corner, all of a sudden they have the seismic effect.
Yeah, which way do I turn?
Yeah, the brain is saying turn right, the hand is turning left, or vice versa, and all of a sudden it just keeps going back and forth. So what's going on here? And that's actually an example of what someone who has dysgraphia is experiencing.
Absolutely.
The other piece on the dyslexia part, we'll have examples for the participants to look at of a standard paragraph, like the Scout Law, for example, and what it might look like to someone who has dyslexia. In other words, the printing on the card will show what the Scout Law might look like to someone who has certain elements of dysgraphia. Of dyslexia, which can be... It's an eye-opener for those who don't have dyslexia. Now, I haven't checked this out with someone who has dyslexia. I wonder what it would look like to them.
I actually do have dyslexia. So my biggest things are I always mix up B's and D's. That was always my biggest thing still to this day. One of my biggest hang-ups still. But I'd love to see that one.
I think I may bounce that off you, because one of the things we'd like to do is have individuals who actually have the disability, if you will, ground truth some of our activities, so that if someone says, oh, this isn't real, we say, no, wait a second. I have this disability, and that's exactly what it looks like to me.
I'd be more than happy to help you in any way
I can. There you go. Yeah. Now, let's see. What did I skip over? We have one that we initiated last time was called Meet the Voice. And that last time we had a gentleman who had had a tracheotomy, and he had to have a special device that would help enable him to speak now.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately he won't be able to be with us, but we're going to use that station perhaps to have individuals who have noticeable or maybe invisible disabilities there on a rotating basis to explain, I use a motorized wheelchair because, I'm a quadriplegic or whatever, and here are some of the things I've done, and here's what it's like for me. So the visitors will get an opportunity to talk to someone in person and get some feedback on that. That's going to be a bit of a change from the past. We also have a tent called the Tent of Possibilities. And this is where we have a lot of adaptive devices, and we show examples of some of the adaptive technologies, the adaptive equipment, and we also will provide opportunities, you know, for some of the scouts to say, well, what do you think are some ideas that might help someone who has a specific disability? So help them to, you know, stop and think about what they've experienced. Now, one thing you probably notice, I haven't brought up anything about those other invisible disabilities.
And you're saving that to the end.
I'm saving the best for last.
Absolutely. That's what we're all here waiting for.
Okay. Now, that's something which, that will be new in 2013. In previous jamborees, we have, you know, if you look, if you listen, been listening to what I've been saying, there's been a lot of visual impairment issues, a lot of mobility impairment issues, mostly the physical, visible disabilities. I forgot the one about hearing. Well, that's invisible sometimes, too. The unfair hearing test. We'll provide an opportunity for the participants to take a hearing test where the test is administered, but the way it's administered, certain sound levels have been distorted or deleted, so you get to experience what somebody who has a hearing impairment might experience if they had to take that test.
Excellent.
And hopefully we don't do that right after the. They don't come to this right after they've been to an arena show where they stood next to the speakers, because then it will be a real task.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Okay, back to the new stuff this year will be, in 2013, will be the invisible disabilities, and we're going to address attention deficit disorder and the autism spectrum there. At this point in time, I don't really have the thing. It hasn't really been totally firmed up, but we're looking at like 4 or 5 activities within this tent where we'll be using some of the sensory issues, for example, as they apply to both ADD and to ASD.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the activities, for example, that I believe Sean Williams described from the Great Race to Autism Awareness.
Right.
He's got some really good ones there. Also looking at perhaps some computer simulations, which might also be interesting.
That's wonderful.
I'm toying with the idea of trying to replicate what a person who has ADD experiences when they walk into a room where there are like 3 conversations going on, and guess what? You actually can listen to all 3 of those and understand what's going on, whereas most people are either totally confused or they focus on one, which is an interesting, in other words, ADD, the original multitaskers.
We actually,
Yeah?
I'm not talking to
you
yet.
No, I haven't. That sounds like that's another option that I'd like to put into there. Okay. Yeah, your volume sort of was fading out there a little bit, but
sorry, is that better?
Yeah. Oh, that's much better.
I'll go ahead and send you a copy of that and take a look at that, because it's pretty impressive. When my wife took it and watched the video, she has autism or Asperger's herself, and when she watched it, it took her probably a good half an hour to recover from it, just watching a short video.
That's the kind of thing we really want people to have a firsthand experience, either in person or at least to observe very up close and personal what it's like to have that disability. Because in past jamborees, as people leave our site, we've asked them, do you have any comments? And more times than I can remember, we have comments along the lines of, I will never look at a person with a disability the same way again. Now I understand what they're dealing with. I mean, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when that happens, we know we've done our job, and we're looking to see that go even more in the future.
And that's totally, having people walk in the shoes sometimes can go such a far distance.
Absolutely. Now, you know, there's one other aspect of the Disability Awareness Challenge that I haven't mentioned yet, and that's something that one of my deputies, a gentleman by the name of Tim Burt, actually, if you got your Scouting magazine for November, he's the gentleman on the skateboard in the middle of the picture on the cover. He is fantastic. If you read the article, you'll see some of the reasons why he's fantastic, because he too has a disability. He's a below the knee amputee, and there he is teaching people how to skateboard.
I showed that to my wife also, yeah. After you told me that, and she was like, "No way!" He's popping a wheelie type of thing in the photo, and it's just amazing. That's totally amazing.
What I didn't say tell you was he's also a climbing instructor.
Fantastic.
This guy he's fantastic, but he has a passion for accessibility, and
Really putting the ability in the disability.
Absolutely. But he's concerned, and he's sort of leading our charge to help make sure that the summit will be a poster child, if you will, for how an organization can make various activities accessible to those who have disabilities. So that's something. There's a lot going on right now. In fact, he's already talked with a number of the High Adventure folks, and they are already incorporating things, if not for 2013, definitely for the build-out by 2017, that will make their activities fully accessible to those who have various physical disabilities, mobility challenges, and the like. So, that's something that really warming, and it's something that I'm really proud that the Boy Scouts are doing. So
I
had to put that plug in for Tim.
Absolutely. I think that's amazing. I think people now have kind of a sense of what's actually going to be there, and I hope people just get excited because and understand that this is something basically hitting a population that's well underserved, and especially hitting the population that really can use the Scouting even more than in many cases just the general population.
Absolutely. I mean,
we have 6 minutes left, so let's go ahead and talk about staffing of the Jamboree. Let's try to recruit some people for you.
Oh, I really would appreciate that.
So how many staff do you expect you'll need for the Jamboree?
Well,
properly.
Right now we've got an authorization for 100 staff, and I think that will probably go a long way toward making this a much much better DAC in 2013. Sorry, I'm using my shorthand for Disability Awareness Challenge.
That's fine.
And actually, some people just call it DAC, but then people are saying, what is this guy talking about? we're authorized to have for 100. At this point, I've got 60 already signed up, and they're in the chute, ready to come and do their best to make this the best, most awesome Disability Awareness Challenge yet. So I've got room for more, and I'm eagerly looking for anyone else who's interested and has a passion for disability awareness. Come on out and help us at the Jamboree.
If someone wants to get involved, how should they contact you or get involved?
Well, probably the best way to contact me would be through responding to an email to the webmaster at www.swd.org. That's me. They can also find out more about the Disability Awareness Challenge on that website. If you go to News and then select the staff recruitment package, that tells it all. We're not holding back on any of our punches in terms of the time involved and the fact that it will be a little bit rigorous because everybody's got to walk at this jamboree, so you may have to walk a couple miles to get to the site every day. But, the other way for registering, the most direct way is to go to the following site. It's Summit, that's S-U-M-M-I-T, .scouting.org. And they have a place there where you can sign up to be on staff. You can register to be staff. And if you want to be at the Disability Awareness Challenge, all you need to do when you fill out the application is select the Disabilities Awareness Exhibit as your first choice. That sort of bugs me a little bit because we're really not a static exhibit by the imagination. However, the Disability Awareness Challenge is organizationally part of the exhibits and displays element of the program. You can look past that. It is an action.
Absolutely. We will also go ahead and put that information up on our Facebook page and as well to try to get people out there to get involved and get people, some more staff out there to help you as well. So we have about 2 minutes left. Why don't you go ahead and take us out with any last minute thoughts on the on the challenge?
Well, like I said, it's going to be an awesome activity, the best one yet in 2013. We are going to be located in Action Alley, right next to all the high adventure demonstrations. And I want to point out the future vision. As it stands right now, the DAC has been a once every 4 years activity. The vision that I'm looking to, and we'll see how it comes, is we want to be able to take elements of that Disability Awareness Challenge on the road between jamborees so that we can have, if you will, a mini DAC up in Portland, another one later in the year down in Los Angeles, maybe one in Dallas, maybe another one over in Richmond, whatever. Because if we reach 20,000 at the Jamboree every 4 years, that's great. But if you take it on the road, we can probably reach maybe 200,000 every year. Imagine where that will take it.
More acceptance by scout leaders to be welcoming of youth with a disability.
Absolutely. And it's not to say that it's being done in various pockets around the country already, but this will actually help to spread it further.
Absolutely. I want to, again, thank you very much for being on the show, Tony. I know I totally enjoy talking to you every single time, and I always learn something from you. I appreciate you taking your time and for our audience. And I know you're coming back on in a couple more weeks and talking about extensions and what happens if someone needs to go past the age of 18 when working on advancement.
Okay.
We'll be talking to you. Thank you much, and thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you.